This is Near FM
90.3.
Good morning and welcome to Northside Today on Near FM 90.3. My name's Michael Sullivan, and on the line I have the one and only Mr. David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. Good morning, David. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Good morning.
Thank you for chatting to us. I was talking to a lady earlier on who is with the Enterprise Group, who are giving out books to children, and now I'm going to talk to you about ongoing evening classes. I have to say I love the idea of education, particularly for young people, and astronomy is such a great subject for kids to get a bit of knowledge of how the whole, not just how the world works, but how the whole universe works.
Absolutely. I mean, it is a fantastic subject. I know I'm biased, but we do cover everything literally under the sun and beyond, and there's just so many ways you can get interested in space, from the mathematics and the science, of course, but right the way through to the artistic beauty of some of the photographs that come back from space. Personally, I think they're much better than any, let's say, modern art. These brilliantly colored starscapes and huge clouds of gas and those swirling galaxies. We feature in our magazine a lot of the pictures that come back from space. In fact, the sort of working title of Astronomy Ireland magazine is The Big Picture. And every month, the Hubble Space Telescope, the James Webb Space Telescope, send back incredible pictures, which we always publish in Astronomy Ireland magazine. And then people take similar things from their backyards in Ireland, which we also feature. And there are plenty of other telescopes around the world as well. So everything from a hobby that you can enjoy to some people have even made a career of it.
I have to say, I couldn't remember the name of the latest telescope, the James Webb, but that certainly has changed not just the view of that we have of the cosmos, but also our understanding. It has changed our understanding as well, hasn't it, of how everything occurred?
Yeah, I mean, it was a game changer. Should have been for about $10 billion, in that it's much bigger than the Hubble Space Telescope, but it's also tuned to infrared wavelengths, and that's very important. We're looking at the early universe, because there's a thing called redshift. It's similar to the effect you get when an ambulance is heading towards you on the street and passes you by, and there's a drop in pitch of the sound. But on the way towards you, the sound waves are bunched up, and on the way away from you, the sound waves are stretched out. And that happens with light as well. And the early universe, the most distant part that we can see, where the light's taken nearly the entire age of the universe to get to us, that light is stretched out. Even the blue-white hot light of the early stars has been shifted right the way through our spectrum the wavelengths the human eye can't see, into the infrared. So the distant universe is actually very ready. And the Hubble Space Telescope wasn't really designed to go that deep into the spectrum, but James Webb was, and so it can see the most distant objects. And with its much bigger mirrors as well, it's also able to collect light much faster. People may remember a thing called the Hubble Deep Field, where when you take a picture with your camera phone, it snaps a picture of a party scene in your house in a hundredth of a second, let's say. But the Hubble Space Telescope kept its lens open for 100,000 seconds, and that's nearly a whole week, keeping your shutter open, peering at the same patch of what we thought was dark sky, and it actually found it was full of thousands of distant galaxies, even blank bits of sky. And that was a bit of a game changer in its own right. Along comes James Webb Space Telescope, and it can do what it took Hubble a week to do in 12 hours. And so it's been able to photograph and image some of the early galaxies, and throwing up questions. The early universe is quite what we thought it should be. In fact, our last lecture, we have these online talks every month, was about this very book, the book written by a scientist who studies this particular area called First Light, which you can still get, by the way, on DVD if anybody wants to go to our website. But it's a fascinating topic. James Webb's a big game changer. There's another giant one coming. There was Irish involvement in James Webb. We built part of it, part of the infrared instrument made by the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies. They worked on that part of that camera. And there's a giant telescope being built in Chile, which will dwarf all telescopes ever made on Earth. Should be online this decade, costing over €1 billion. And it will take the next step beyond the James Webb Space Telescope. So very exciting times ahead.
And of course, what people have to remember is that when one of these telescopes takes a photograph way deep into space, you're looking at something that occurred billions of years ago. It's not today. You're looking at something that occurred before the Earth was even formed.
Yeah, when James Webb came online, was it 2 or 3 years ago, one of the national newspapers asked me to write their op-ed opinion editorial for the national newspaper about James Webb. And my feature was to call it a time machine, not really a telescope, it's a time machine. It can see such faint light from the early universe that it is looking back in time. But both the objects don't look in the early universe anything like they do today. Galaxies are very small, they're very irregular, as you would expect from the first stars forming. And everything we look at in the night sky is actually in the past. The average star that you see in the night sky, you're seeing the light usually tens to hundreds of years since it was made by those stars. Now, the stars don't change much in tens to hundreds of years, but when you're looking with James Webb, you're looking back over 10,000 million years to the early universe. So it's a time machine more than it is a telescope. It's amazing that we can actually effectively look back in time and see what the early universe was like just by observing very different objects. Like I said, astronomy, a fascinating, if not crazy, subject.
Now that we've spoken about that, maybe you'd tell us a bit about the ongoing evening classes that the Astronomy Ireland hold.
Yeah, well, Astronomy Ireland is an amateur club. It's set up for kids, families, members of the public who have a fascination in space. And we have a monthly magazine called Astronomy Ireland Magazine. All these great pictures, all these great stories, the discoveries fill its pages every month. We tell you what to see in the sky, and we report on what Irish people have been seeing in the sky. So it's the magazine for anybody interested in astronomy in Ireland. It costs around about €1 a week to be a member to get the magazine posted to you every month. And indeed, every week we send out an email, send out on Wednesdays, went out this morning, and that will update people even more. And a magazine is not really like a book. A book, yep, you sit down, you read it from beginning to end. But a magazine is more, there'll be articles about space and, say, astronauts, which some people are not particularly interested in. And another article will be about black holes and cosmology in the beginning of the universe. And some people are not interested in that aspect. But the idea of a magazine, there should be 2 or 3 articles, certainly looking at all the pretty pictures every month that interest you. But there are the odd person who wants to know everything. So they asked us, why don't you run some classes? So really our classes arose out of an interest of people who want to know everything from space exploration by humans to how the sun as a star works, how all the stars work, where the universe came from, how to find your way around the sky using telescopes. So we set up these evening classes decades ago now, must be over 20 years, and thousands of people have taken them. They're the most popular astronomy classes in the country by far. And over the course of 8 weeks, you'll get to find out in 2 hours each evening more about the universe than you ever wanted to know. So you'll be able to read Astronomy Ireland magazine from cover to cover and understand absolutely everything on its pages. Not that it's complicated, it's just that sometimes it helps to have a bit of a background. And again, the whole idea is on fun. And so if anyone wants to do those classes, they run twice a year, usually end of January and the start of October. And the class is just coming to an end now. The last one's actually this evening. But you can sign up now if you want. You can get all the 8 classes recordings, and you can do the October classes free of charge. So effectively, you can do them twice. Or you can sign up now for the October classes, and and wait till those ones begin. As soon as you sign up for classes, you automatically made a member of Astronomy Ireland. You're getting Astronomy Ireland magazine every month. You won't miss the comet that's coming in early April, late March. We'll get the best views of it. You won't miss bits of the partial eclipse of the sun coming next month as well. All what to see on the planets on top of that, meteor showers, and lots more besides. So if you want to go to our website, astronomy.ie, you'll see the evening classes there. And you can also sign up for the magazine, even if you don't want to do the astronomy classes.
Now, I have to say, I would advise anyone out there, if they have an interest in astronomy, take the classes. Do it. You'll be fascinated. But you mentioned there the comet that is due in April. Maybe tell us a little about that.
Yeah, it's a comet called Pons-Brooks, or PB. Also, comets are numbered, and this one is called 12P, and sort of in the industry, people tend to use the numbers because there's that many comets around. Some of the names are a bit unpronounceable because there are people all over the world that find them. For instance, a much bigger one coming in October, which I have to pause before I pronounce it, Sun Chin Shan, which means Purple Mountain, and that's the name of the observatory that found it in China. But the one that's here at the moment, Pons Brooks, that was found in the 1800s by two astronomers, one Pons in France, and the other Brooks, who was originally from Britain but found it when he was working in the USA. And that comet comes back every 71 years, so it's a bit like the famous Halley's Comet, which is every 75 years or so. And so we haven't seen this since the 1950s. And last year it started to come close to the sun again and had lots of hiccups where it brightened up by a factor of 100 unexpectedly. And even if it doesn't brighten up, it should just be visible to the naked eye late March, early April. And then it's gone again for 71 years. And it looks very nice in a small telescope and binoculars already. It'll probably brighten by another factor of 10 in the coming weeks. The photographs of it, which are always better, because the camera can collect light for a long period of time, unlike the human eye, which is more like a video camera, taking lots of pictures every second. The photographs are stunning. Streamers and detail in the tail, and we've already got a few Irish people who have taken pictures of it. They've sent those into the magazine, and we'll be publishing every single Irish picture we can get our hands on in the next issue of the magazine, and indeed the best taken from around the world to record this comet, because it'll be 71 years before we see it again. That's a bit of fun for us. We don't normally get bright comets that we can predict so easily. This one, Pons-Brooks, is really living up to expectations, and will whet all of our appetites for the one in October. That could be 100 times brighter and might be the brightest object in the night sky. So we're keeping a close eye on developments on that front.
Now, isn't that just amazing? You know, you can go out and, particularly if you're a young person, you could go out and see something in the sky that nobody's going to see till your great-grandchildren are alive in 71 years' time. You know, it's fascinating to think that.
It is. And some comets don't come back ever, and some for thousands of years. Some of the older listeners might remember Hale-Bopp in 1997, which actually launched Astronomy Ireland magazine in colour. I remember we went full colour back then. That was very high-tech back in 1997. I remember it cost us an arm and a leg, but it was well worth it, and it decorates the first issue of the magazine. Back then, 1997, that was a huge comet. I remember it sitting at traffic lights in the city, and there was the comet beside the traffic light. So whatever about light pollution, you could see this comet next to bright traffic lights. That's what we hope the one in October will be like. And that's, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime comet, but won't come back for about 3,000 years. So I think it was a one-shot event for all of us who saw it. And many of the younger people who weren't alive, you might get your chance in October.
Indeed. And, you know, it's fascinating when you think that something like that, and if you're a religious person, it's fascinating to think that that comet, I should say, hasn't been seen since before the time of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and when you think in biblical terms, you know, it's...
It reminds me of an event that we run every year, the biggest star party in Ireland. The aim of the general public, we get giant telescopes along into the Wicklow Mountains, where the skies are pitch black. We take over the GA grounds at Roundwood, one of the highest villages in Ireland, hire a professional caterer for a barbecue, get some great talks in the big hall there, and then have the playing field decorated with telescopes that are thousands of times more powerful than your eye, in skies that are hundreds of times darker than city dwellers are used to. The views are incredible. And one thing we do is we use a giant laser to point out the stars in the sky. And it always happens in summer. It's August 31st this year. And there's a group of three very bright stars called the Summer Triangle of Altair, Vega, and Deneb are the name of the stars. Altair is very close, 16 light years away. The light took 16 years to get here. Vega is pretty close too, 25 light years away. But this star, Deneb, which is inconspicuous, nothing particularly special about it, but it's a giant star, one of the brightest stars in existence. And it's about 2,000 light years away. So you can tell people the light that's entering their eye as they're looking at it was made by that star around the time Jesus Christ was walking around on the surface of the earth. And it begins to give you some idea how ridiculously large the universe is when light travels from here to the moon in just over 1 second. And astronomy is full of incredible facts like that. It's mind-blowing stuff. And that's the kind of thing we cover in the evening classes. You know, we're not teaching the maths and things. There's no maths in the classes. It's about, you know, fascinating facts like that and how it all fits in. And also, how do we know it's 2,000 light years away? I could just be making that up. Well, this is science. You have to be able to prove all this. And we explain to people how it's done as well. So it's not just theories. It's actual facts behind all of these things we know about the universe.
And you know what I love about that is that these things can be transferred into all other walks of life. Just like you often hear people using Latin and Latin terms, that you can, if you know something about astronomy, and that you can use that in conversations and in debates and different things like that, and it makes you look so bright.
Yeah, and you know, astronomy impinges on so many different aspects of human life. And in Ireland, I don't know if most people are aware, but our economy is mostly based on science today. Something like 60% of our GDP is from all these high-tech chip companies, software companies, internet companies, pharmaceutical companies, and they are screaming out for science graduates. It's one of the reasons they came here. We had so many. And you know, it's now a huge part of Ireland's economy. It's made Ireland one of the wealthiest countries per head of population on the planet. And if you get interested in astronomy, there's so many areas of industry that you can go on to work in. You know, you might not want to become an academic astronomer working in a university, but you could work in any of those technical companies if you have a science degree. So if your kids develop an interest in astronomy, it is something to foster and encourage, because it opens up a whole world of future career paths to them, as well as being fascinating. And when you're fascinated by the subject, it's not learning anymore, it's fun. So I've been told by even financial companies who need a lot of mathematicians and experts like that to help them with their calculations, that they prefer astronomers, trained astronomers, to MBA graduates, business graduates, because they've been given this gift of what's called critical thinking, which is so important. So again, it can lead to a career, not even an astronomy, but in any of the other great areas.
David, I have taken up so much of your time. Thank you so much for talking to us. But before you go, if anybody is interested in learning more about Astronomy Ireland or getting involved with Astronomy Ireland, how can they do that?
Well, the first up is our website, astronomy.ie. On there you see where to join. It's the first thing on the webpage. We are always looking for new members. You don't have to have a telescope or know anything about astronomy. Join the club. €1 a week is all it costs. It's heavily subsidized by all the volunteer work that gets done in the society. And you'll see our evening classes are there as well, Astronomy for Beginners. They're currently running until today, the 20th of March, but the new classes are already set up for October. So if you sign up today, you can get recordings of all the 8 classes that have been done so far and repeat them, as I said, free of charge when the next set start live in October. there's never been a better time to join. And the other thing I wanted to mention was the International Space Station is flying over Ireland every evening over the next 10 days. So if you want to see that, down the bottom of our website, you'll see links to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X. And every evening before the sun sets, we predict what time to see the space station. Is it going to be anything chasing it across the sky? Where you need to be in Ireland to see it pass in front of the moon or maybe the planet Jupiter and all fun things like that. So free are the social media. Euro week, you want to be a member of what is, by the way, the world's most popular astronomy society. Astronomy.ie is the website.
David, thank you so much. Take care. All the best.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Near FM
90.3.